Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day to be together and worship our God. So we're glad that you're here. Welcome to our worship service. A special welcome to any visitors, family, and friends joining us today. As we get started, I'll give you just a few announcements to keep you informed of what's going on. So today, this evening at 5 p.m., we're going to be having a special Thanksgiving supper. Everybody's invited. There's more details in the bulletin. We're going to have the turkey and the ham and the potatoes, and so I don't know what more you really need at that point. But we're going to, I'm sure many people will bring more dishes, and there'll be plenty of food to go around. Then just to let you know, our council is meeting tomorrow at 6:30. And then looking forward, Thanksgiving is coming up this week. And so on Wednesday evening, we're going to have our special Thanksgiving service. Again, that's Wednesday evening, and we'll be at 6:30. So those are the big events that are coming up. And then also just to draw your attention to this note in the bulletin, that this coming Saturday morning, we're going to be setting up for Christmas. So if anybody is up for decorating and helping out with that, particularly younger men are being called out, so that's probably me that's directed to. Or anybody else that's feeling really strong and ready to help out Saturday morning, if you're free and would like to help out, there's info in the bulletin about that. That's all for announcements. Let's enter into our time of worship. Please rise in body or in spirit. We've got a responsive reading from Psalm 106, so you can join me, follow along either on the screen or in the bulletin. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. From everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's join together in singing, and we'll start by singing, Rejoice, O Pure in Heart. Brothers and sisters, God greets us this morning saying, Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God's greeted us. Let's take a moment to greet one another. You may be seated. In the book of Psalms, we read, "I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found." Trusting in God's mercy, let's confess our sins together in prayer. Lord, the great and awesome God, holy and most gracious Father, filled with mercy and steadfast love, we are embarrassed to come before you, for we have preferred the ways of this world to your way. For we have rebelled against your wisdom and have gotten into trouble. For we have rejected your fatherly guidance and have gotten altogether lost. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. Merciful and forgiving Lord, you always keep your covenant of love. Incline your ear to our troubles. Hear us when we pour out our sorrows before you. Forgive us. Not on the ground of our own righteousness, but on the ground of your great mercy in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. O God, whose Son knew the agony of being abandoned, persecuted, and killed, though he had done no wrong, hear the cries of your children who suffer, those who are imprisoned unjustly, those who hunger, those who are crushed by anguish and grief, those who are ignored, betrayed, exploited, and abused. How long, Lord, will you forget us forever? Why do you hide your face from us? Comfort us, we pray, with the life-giving presence of your Holy Spirit. Display your mighty power and unfailing love. Give us hope, strength, and justice, so that we can rejoice in your deliverance, singing your praises together. In Jesus' name, amen. People of God, hear the good news. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to your people and show love to your chosen ones, as you pledged on oath to our ancestors in days long ago. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. And now Jesus calls us to live for him. The most important commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Let's rise. In body or in spirit, and we'll join again in singing. We'll sing Everlasting God.
Upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
You may be seated. As we prepare for our time of congregational prayer, I have a couple of prayer requests and updates to bring to you. First, we were in prayer for Pete Adama's brother, Bernie, who had heart surgery earlier this week. And we give thanks that he did come through the surgery. Things were a little touch and go for a while, but God has been faithful, and Bernie is recovering, and we'll pray for continued recovery. Then also, we want to remember Norma Corver in our prayers. Norma went to the hospital last night. She's down in Sioux City. They're not exactly sure what's going on, but there's some concerns about a blood clot in her lungs. And so we just pray for healing and that she'll be able to come home soon. Let's go to our God together in prayer. Great God, glorify yourself in all the earth. Be glorified in creation. Be glorified in your church. Be glorified in our worship here this morning. Though we are so small and you are so great, help us still to magnify your name. Help us to make your name and the nature of your grace larger and easier for people to see. Help us to live and to worship in such a way that our neighbors and co-workers and children and friends can see you come into focus in ways they may not have seen before. When people ask for an explanation of the hope we have, give us the words to answer thoughtfully and well. When people wonder out loud who Jesus is and why he matters, help us to reply in words that will echo the sweetness of your gospel. Help us to magnify your name, so that you may be glorified in all the earth. Father, ours is a world that could use more glimpses of your glory and fewer glimpses of the misery into which our sin leads. Ours is a world that needs more of the gentle words of your Son, Jesus, and fewer of the proud, angry, and destructive words we so often hear and speak. We need your glory, Lord God, so that we can aspire to be more like you and less selfish and self-indulgent. We need the glory of your grace in a world bent on revenge, the glory of your truth in a world filled with lies, the glory of your holiness in a world flooded with cheap and unending cravings, the glory of your resurrection life in a world mired with death. Work in us through your Spirit and bring your kingdom's peace and well-being to make this world a better place. Bless our congregation. Heal those who are ill. We think particularly of Norma, and we thank you for the healing you've brought in Bernie's life. Comfort those who are grieving. Reassure those who feel troubled and frightened by what the future may hold. Bless the leadership of our congregation. Anoint them by your Spirit. As they do sometimes difficult, sometimes joyful, but always holy work, may they sense your anointing. Be in the words they speak, the cards they send, the visits they make. Be in the meetings they attend and the committees they work on. And help each one of us here to warm hearts, to provide hope, to lend comfort, and so contribute to your glory in this congregation. Show us your presence as we continue to worship you now and as we prepare ourselves for the week ahead. For those of us who travel this week, whether it's a long trip or many trips across town, grant safety. Guide and protect children who climb aboard buses and study at school, and help them day by day to deepen their awareness of your wonders in the world that you have made, Creator God. For students writing papers and taking exams, give them fresh recall of what they have labored so hard to learn. For any here today who face an anxious week, grant extra measures of your Spirit's power and comfort. For those who worry and who have much to worry about, lend peace. For those who feel overwhelmed and desperate, bring hope and relief. Deal gently, Heavenly Father, with children who've been asked to grow up too quickly because a parent is sick, or because mom and dad can't live together anymore. Scoop them up so that they will know your loving embrace in the midst of tears and heartache. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen all those who are lonely. Reassure the widow who has been alone for so many years, and who we all think has done so well, but who alone knows how much her heart still aches. Encourage the one who has wanted marriage so long, but who has not found such companionship, and for whom the years seem to be slipping away. Comfort divorced people who still cannot believe that their fondest dreams for wedded bliss have been shattered, and who now live with both the regret and loneliness of it all. Uplift those who so wish that they could find someone to talk to, but cannot. Those who wait for the phone to ring when it stays silent. Those who work so hard on tasks that no one ever mentions or comments on. Be a friend to those whose friends fail them. Be a companion to those who feel like they walk life's journey alone. Show love to those who think their lives don't seem to count. Now, as we continue our worship, fill us with yourself. As we sing, lift us ever higher to you. As we give offerings, draw us into the rhythm of your generosity and grace. As we turn to word and sacrament, encounter us with your very self. Be glorified in all we do. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As part of our worship, we have the opportunity to show our gratitude to God with the giving of our offerings. And as we receive the offerings for the ministries of our church today, we'll also do some singing, His Mercy Is More. We're going to have our children's message at this time, so I invite any of our kids that want to come forward now, and we'll talk for a little bit. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. All right. So we've been talking for a while now about the things that we do in church and trying to talk about why we do them. And so this week, we're going to talk about when we read the Bible. When we read the Bible, and then I give what's called a sermon. I talk for a long time about the Bible. What do you guys know about the Bible? What is the Bible? Yeah, yes, very good. It's things that God tells us. The Bible is a book that God has given us. It's like a special present from God. And the Bible tells us about who God is, and it tells us about what God has done for us. And because of that, the Bible also tells us about who we are, about who God wants us to be, and about what God wants us to do. So we read the Bible every week because it's like a present from God. God talks to us. It's like God has written us a letter or a note. And then I talk about the passage that we read in the Bible because sometimes the Bible can be hard to understand. But also because we want to think about how does the Bible connect with us? How does the Bible connect to what we do each day? So when I talk about how we see Jesus in the Bible passage that we read, how our Bible passage makes us think about how we need God and we need his help, but also how we can see God working in our world today. So we read the Bible because we get to learn about God. And we also read the Bible because it helps us understand our lives and how God is at work. So that's what we do each week. That's what I'm going to do next. Thank you guys for coming forward. You can go back to your seats. So here we are towards the end of November. And in thinking about the church and the holidays that we celebrate, we talk about the church calendar starting over each year when we get to Advent, which is next week. So from a church standpoint, this is the last week of the year. We're getting ready to begin the cycle of celebrating the events of Jesus' life all over again. And so this is a good time for us to kind of step back and reflect and think about the big story of what God has done for us. So last week we looked at Psalm 105, which told this long story of God's acts of faithfulness and choosing and delivering his people. And this week we're going to look at Psalm 106, which also tells this big story, but tells more of the story of God's people, and sadly a story of how God's people are sinful and unfaithful to God. But, like we just sang about in the song, though our sins are many, God's mercy is more. And so it's also a story of God's mercy and his faithfulness toward us. So, as we prepare to read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. Lord our God, in the reading and proclamation of your word, we pray that you will illumine our minds and hearts, so that we may hear and understand your word, know and live according to your word, and become living letters of your word, equipped to follow Jesus in every part of our lives, by the power of your Holy Spirit, through Christ our Lord, the living word. Amen. So again, our scripture reading is Psalm 106. You can follow along up on the screen or in your own Bible. And we will read the whole psalm together. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving you praise. We have sinned, even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy, he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. In the camp, they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It buried the company of Abiram. Fire blazed among their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. At Horeb, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them? Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the Lord. So he swore to them with uplifted hand that he would make them fall in the wilderness, make their descendants fall among the nations, and scatter them throughout the lands. They yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to lifeless gods. They aroused the Lord's anger by their wicked deeds, and a plague broke out among them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was checked. This was credited to him as righteousness for endless generations to come. By the waters of Meribah, they angered the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them, for they rebelled against the Spirit of God, and rash words came from Moses' lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs. They worshipped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to false gods. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves by what they did. By their deeds they prostituted themselves. Therefore, the Lord was angry with his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. He gave them into the hands of the nations, and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected them to their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion, and they wasted away in their sin. Yet he took note of their distress, and when he heard their cry, for their sake he remembered his covenant. And out of his great love, he relented. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Michael Jansen rebelled against God and his Christian upbringing. Now, Michael didn't go through some great tragedy that shook his faith. He didn't have some experience with other Christians that left a bad taste in his mouth. He says that, to tell the truth, he felt loved by his parents. He'd been learning about God from early childhood. But as a teenager, Michael desperately wanted to fit in with his peers who weren't Christians. So he says, I forgot all about faith, tried to find satisfaction without God. I got involved with friends who had a negative influence on me. It didn't take long for me to start drinking, get physical with my girlfriend, begin smoking a lot of pot. I wasn't just out skateboarding like I was telling my parents. Michael knew that he was sinning. He was going against what God wanted for and from him. And his actions hurt his parents. He could see his dad was upset. His mom was terribly worried about him. And it's not like Michael's new life was just going fantastic. He says, I started to become joyless and miserable. I remember feeling this profound emptiness, like I knew I was wasting my life, wasn't meant to live like this. But Michael wouldn't give up. He kept on trying to live life on his own terms. He just continued adding to his sins. All of us are sinners. We add to our history of sins day after day, piling up wrongdoing and failures to carry out what's good. Christians often think about sin in terms of the whole world, because we know that every human being falls short of God's standards. But reading our Bible passage this morning brings that a little closer to home than we might like. It's not just unbelievers who do evil things. We, God's people, are sinners. Both as individuals and as a community, we forget God. We go our own way over and over again, increasing the number of wrongs that we've committed. We joyfully claim our identity as God's children, and we accept his loving care. But again and again, we're unfaithful to God. We put our deepest trust in money or medicine or our personal freedoms and power to keep us safe. We look to our family or work or a cause that we're passionate about to define us and give us our worth. We follow the values of our friends or social media or pop culture to determine what we think when it comes to sex or our schedules or how we talk about other people. And it's not just our personal histories, but also church history that reveals a multitude of sins. Think of how much of the American church long supported slavery. Or think about the role that South African churches played in apartheid. As the Christian community, we often put our own comfort or our traditions or our desire to be relevant above following God. we multiply our sins over time. Psalm 106 highlights God's people's sins, unfaithfulness, rebellion. And by doing that, it reveals God's abundant mercy and astonishing faithfulness. When we read this psalm, we should probably picture a background of God's people in exile. Foreign nations have slaughtered the people of Israel and dragged them away from their homes. Having experienced the Lord's terrible anger and judgment against their sins, the people live as poor, scattered outsiders in distant lands. Psalm 106 tells the miserable story of God's people's failures, confessing how time after time they forgot what the Lord had done for them. And so they worshiped false gods, or they failed to trust the Lord. But this history also reveals the story of how over and over God forgave and helped his people when they needed him. Ashamed of their sins and wrongdoing, God's people cry out to the Lord as their only hope for deliverance. Realizing their own misdeeds and imperfections, the people can't help but recognize God's goodness and praise his enduring love. God's people's sins have piled up throughout history. The current generation begins their confession by admitting that they too have sinned, just like their ancestors. They too have increased the community's wickedness and guilt. Looking back, from day one, it was clear that God's people didn't deserve his salvation. When God's people got to the Red Sea, while the Lord was still in the process of rescuing them from Egypt, they started to rebel against God, question his goodness. They hadn't paid enough attention to God's miracles on their behalf or appreciated the Lord's great love for them. But God rescued them anyway, clearing a dry path through the waters for them to walk through before a wave of destruction swept away their enemies. For this brief moment, the people trusted and praised the Lord. But it wasn't long before the people multiplied their sins. Our psalm goes on and tells a whole host of stories from Exodus and Numbers. Even though God's people had just lived through the Lord's mighty saving work, God's people turned against him in the wilderness, accusing God of leading them out to die. Their sins abounded. They grew hungry for meat, and so they let their cravings run wild. The Lord responded to their ingratitude by dropping flocks of birds for them to eat. And he also sent them a wasting disease because of their testing him. The people added to their wrongdoing by questioning God's appointed leaders, Moses and Aaron. The earth swallowed up those ringleaders. Fire consumed many of the people as the Lord's wrath flared up against his rebellious people. But their sins only increased. God's people increased their wicked actions at the very place where God had given them his laws and instructions. They made a golden calf to worship, trading the true glory of the Lord for an image of a grass-eating bull. The Lord would have rightfully destroyed them for abandoning and ignoring him, but Moses stood up and prayed on their behalf. However, the people just continued to pile up sins. They grumbled against God and refused to enter the promised land. So God made that whole generation die off in the wilderness. They worshiped false, dead gods at Peor, arousing the Lord's anger until Phinehas intervened and God stopped the plague that was devastating the community. God's people complained about having a lack of water, and even Moses got caught up in their abundant sin, lashing out with thoughtless words. And then getting out of the wilderness into the promised land, that didn't stop God's people from turning away from him once again. Instead, their unfaithfulness and their rebellion only multiplied in the land God had given them. The Lord's people didn't keep his command to completely wipe out the Canaanites and their false worship. Instead, God's people imitated the pagans that were around them, infuriating God by worshiping idols, even sacrificing their children to false gods. They defiled themselves with their sins. They desecrated the land with their evil deeds. Despite receiving God's deliverance and blessing, the people went their own way, stacking sins on top of sins rather than following the Lord. Their stubborn rebellion repulsed God. He hated what his people had become. So again and again, he punished them by allowing other nations to defeat and oppress them. But even when the Lord would rescue his people from those consequences of their sins, they soon turned away again. They increased their guilt and wickedness even more. The history of the Lord and his people reveals the abundance of his people's sins and unfaithfulness. But it also reveals an even greater abundance of God's mercy and faithfulness. The Lord saved his people from the Egyptians. He provided food and water in the wilderness. With great patience, he kept on guiding the people despite their rebellion. He settled them in the promised land. God did all of these things that the people did not deserve, piling up his mercies by giving them chance after chance. Many times he answered the prayers of Moses and others by forgiving their sins. Even at times when God upheld his justice by punishing their wrongdoing, he heard his people crying out in distress because of the trouble they brought on themselves. And the Lord remained faithful to his covenant promises because he had compassion for his people. Because of his great love, he never rejected his people. He showed grace by holding back his full judgment. God kept his people's enemies from destroying them. He restored their freedom again and again. Even in exile, the Lord's faithful mercy gave his people hope for yet another new start. Though God's people's sins increased, God's absolute faithfulness never changed, and God's grace increased even more. This history of God's people's increasing sin and God's increasing grace should probably leave us with a couple different feelings. First, we should feel uncomfortable, even ashamed, of our wrongdoing, both as individuals and as a community. We are not deserving of God's love and salvation. We continue to add to our long list of sins each day. God's mercy does not mean that God ignores or accepts these evil deeds. But, praise God, he uses this discomfort for our good, to turn us back to him. And so second, we should feel amazed and overwhelmingly grateful for God's abundant grace, and particularly for Christ Jesus, who is the embodiment of God's mercy. Looking back, we can see that God was able to hold back his full judgment of his people's sins because of Jesus. In Jesus, God himself took the full judgment for all of his people's sins. For each person that he leads to believe in him, Jesus takes God's people's place in his life and death and resurrection to forgive us. Those apart from Jesus face eternal judgment. But for Christ's people, God has multiplied his mercy to cover every sin. God adds to the story of his mercy every time that we come to him and confess our sins and receive assurance of his forgiveness. Now, Psalm 106's story can leave us feeling a little depressed because neither God's judgment nor God's mercy ever seem to stop his people's sins for long. But here, Christ gives us more hope once again. Jesus' work of saving his people from sin goes even deeper than forgiving us. Jesus also places his Holy Spirit inside every Christian to teach us, to guide us, to help us to leave our sins behind and live for God. In that way, our story is different than the story of God's people before Jesus' time. While our lives show that none of us have broken fully free of sin, Christ piles grace on top of grace every time that he helps us learn to do good. His abundant mercy assures us that he will make his people finally and fully sin-free when he returns. God increases his great mercy, reveals his faithful patience by forgiving his people and leading us back to him when we go astray. When Michael Jansen was walking away from God, Michael's father continued to remind him that he loved him. Michael says that at those moments, he felt like God was knocking on his heart, saying, "Michael, guess what? I love you." Despite these reminders of God's abundant grace, Michael didn't yet feel willing to turn to God again. But God, however, did not give up on Michael. Soon, Michael's parents ended up grounding him for a month. And by the time Michael got back to his friends, a new kid had taken leadership in the group. And for some reason, this new individual didn't like Michael. Pretty quickly, a fight broke out, and this kid punched him in the face. Michael says, "That was the last time I hung out with these so-called friends. I like to think that it was God who punched me in the face that day. God knew that I needed a wake-up call to question whether these friends were really good for me." Before long, because of this, Michael turned back to God, who forgave him because of Jesus, adding to his incredible grace. Christ helped Michael begin to prioritize God. And as he did, he filled him with joy and peace and a deep sense of acceptance. Michael is so thankful that God was patient with him, that God forgave him. God multiplied his mercies in Michael's life. People of God, we have sinned. And we keep adding to our wrongdoing. But praise God. Through Jesus Christ, he forgives us. And he delivers us with his abundant mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Faithful and merciful God, your love endures forever. We have sinned, just like earlier generations of your people. And to our shame, we continue to sin. Thank you for your great patience and your abundant mercy. Thank you for Jesus' work to forgive your people's sins and renew us to live how you want us to live. Please help us turn from our sins to you day after day. Help us to proclaim the story of your unfailing grace so that your name may be praised in all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Having heard God's word, let's proclaim by again proclaiming some of the story of God's great love for us. We'll use the words this week of the Nicene Creed. It's maybe not as familiar as the shorter Apostles' Creed, but really the Nicene Creed is better because it gives us a little better understanding of who God is and what God has done. So let's join together in proclaiming our faith. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. As we enter into our time of celebrating the sacrament of communion, the Lord's Supper, we remember that this is also a time where we look back on the story of God's great faithfulness to us. And we have an opportunity to tell that story again in our communion liturgy and prayers. People of God, welcome to the Feast of the Lord, where Christ Jesus, our Savior, invites us to receive the benefits and blessings of his atoning death, his life-giving resurrection, and his exalted reign. At the Lord's Supper, we look back, remembering the whole story of our salvation. We look around, seeing that we are together members of the body of Christ. We look forward to the great banquet in God's coming kingdom. And we look up to our ascended Lord, who promises to feed us with his body and blood by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. People of God, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. Generous God, overflowing fountain of good, you lived from all eternity in Trinitarian abundance, and yet made room for creatures, creating life through the mediating Son and the hovering Spirit, pouring out value on all that you made. You honored us, human beings, with the breath of your life, making us in your image and likeness, to care for the earth in stewardship and love, to live together and in hospitality and zest, as a daily reminder of your Trinitarian abundance. You crowned us with virtue and honor, and are now renewing us in your image through the work of your Son. You are magnificent, strong God, giver of splendors. You bless inside a world of curses. You heal inside a world of wounds. You save inside a world bent on being lost. We thank, praise, and honor you, generous God, overflowing fountain of good, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, you are mighty in power, yet abounding in mercy. While our world was marred with sin, so much so that we had no hope of redemption, you made a covenant with your people. You promised to renew your creation. You promised to give hope amid the sorrow, healing in place of sickness, wholeness in place of emptiness. You stepped into our darkness in the person of Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior lived among us. He, God before the beginning of time, willingly came to live at a specific place in a specific time. He came quietly to a young unwed mother through the power of your Holy Spirit. He experienced our human joys and sorrows. The Lord of the universe became a helpless boy. He ate, he drank, he grew. He was like us, but without sin. And then the King of Kings showed us how to live. He healed the sick, cared for the least of society, and took time for children. He forgave sins and performed miracles. He loved and he served. He gave up his very life for his friends. He died the excruciating, disgraceful death of a criminal for us. Yet you raised him out of the tomb. He triumphed over death so that we too may live. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At his last supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So, loving God, in obedience to your command, we eat the bread and drink from the cup. As we do, we remember with awe and gratitude the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of all, Savior, Anointed One. We rejoice that your great love through our Redeemer's sacrifice has set us free and given us hope for a future with you. Until our Lord Jesus returns to establish his kingdom without end, we will joyfully proclaim his death and resurrection. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So a brief word of explanation. How we'll celebrate communion this morning, as our council members, our elders, will come forward. We'll take the trays of bread and pass them through the pews. So we'll all take bread, and then once everybody has the bread, we'll eat together. The same way with the cups of juice, we'll pass them down through the pews. Once everybody has the cups, we'll all drink together. As we said at the beginning, the Lord's Supper is for those who are sorry for their sins, who believe in Jesus as their Savior, and who want to live for Him. So if that's you, even if you're a member of a different church, we invite you to come and celebrate the sacrament with us. But if you're not a church member, if you don't believe in Jesus, we ask that you just let the trays pass by you. Maybe take this as an opportunity to reflect on the love of Christ that we've heard in the sermon and that we've seen proclaimed in other ways as well. We come now, for all is ready. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Brothers and sisters, let's take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Brothers and sisters, let us take, drink, remember, and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let's join together in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength.